This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Talking with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and we were talking psychology, Jay, and I know that you've read and are a little bit of a psychology buff. Jung talks to us about our super ego. Tell me about Mr. Big Shot. It's kind of like a the shadow, part of our psyche.
Big Shot is a part of us that wants to go on and probably talks a little bit too much about certain things, and it has a tendency to socially be an unacceptable part of our psyche. And that part of the psyche, this sort of Mr. Big Shot that I'm talking about, is what we're hoping to prevent. Right now we have, in this country, record-breaking workplace violence and domestic violence. And we see it peaking around the time of the presidential debates, which are coming up.
Now, the first presidential debate is on September the 30th.
My understanding it is, as a matter of fact, I have the schedule here. The first presidential debate is going to be on September the 30th at Coral Gables, Florida. And I think there's going to be a few others. That's when we're going to see, as I mentioned to you, Phil, some of this domestic violence start to peak. And we've got a concern, and we've notified other auxiliary police agencies. We do have a concern that we're going to assume that people after these debates are going to provoke a lot of workplace violence. They're going to provoke a lot of domestic violence. That's all we want to prevent.
All right, well, the debates themselves are going to be loaded with information and opinions that people are not familiar with. And are you saying that people are going to gain information from the debates?
I don't know whether or not they're actually going to. It's valuable to give people insight into the election. What's concerning us is the probability that for a period of 4 to 6 weeks following the debates, there's going to be a lot of American people are going to be going into their workplace, they're going to be going into their homes or meeting with friends, they're going to be acting as if they have a knowledge or an education that they don't possess. And
now, why is this a concern?
Because law enforcement has a concern that because this election is so important, because it is occurring in an emotionally charged period of our history, that people who assume that they are informed about the election or about the candidates will speak in public about how informed they are, and that's naturally going to create violence in the home.
And you say that this is a natural byproduct. People going out and saying, I know a lot about the politics, I know a lot about the elections, is going to create violence.
Well, it's natural. If you're going to ask anyone in your audience, it's natural to become angry with a guy in a workplace. Let's put it right down. You know,
but I want to know, if I see the elections, or I watch the debates, I should say, and then I go into my workplace, I go to home, and I'm giving my opinion.
Let me put it down to a level that you can understand, your audience can understand. It's natural to become angry with a guy. You're in a workplace, or your wife, or what have you, and they start talking about how smart they are, and they think they know all about the politics, this kind of nonsense. We're asking our listeners to resist the natural temptation to react physically. And instead try to react to them intellectually. Let them know, you know, they think they're so smart, some kind of a smart ass. You know, I know all about the elections. And
well, I don't know that I accept the notion that it's going to lead to violence.
Well, I can tell you, being on the front line of law enforcement for the past 6 years, we've seen more violence against women and coworkers, because a lot of these women, a lot of these coworkers, they start talking about, you know, how smart they are than everybody else because they saw the debate or this, and the violence is provoked. And it doesn't have to result in violence. People don't have to get violent. Let me tell you what we are advising people in the workplace, wives, husbands, whoever is most prone to react in a naturally violent manner to someone who is talking like a smart ass and this kind of thing. And
well, what do you mean smart ass? If I come in and I say,
you know, these people are smarty pants, so I can tell my son he's a smarty pants. And a guy comes in and says, yeah, I saw the debates last night. The first thing you're going to say is, what kind of a smartass is this? You know, because he's trying to be a smartass, trying to tell you things he doesn't know. And what I say, the best response is, and the things we do advise people as part of Operation Fair Play is, if you think you're so smart, I don't have time to read the paper or watch the debates. I got a family support. You think you're so smart. That's a great way to diffuse the tendency that you'll have. And that's going to stop some of these people who think they're so smart dead in their tracks. It's going to alleviate the need for you to react violently.
Jay Santos is with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're talking about domestic and workplace violence peaking around the times of the debates because people will be coming into work or at home will be talking about how knowledgeable they are. And you call this in some of your literature, and I know that you addressed some of the members of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You're calling this kind of a smart-ass reaction?
It's called a smart-ass. It's basically what we call is the smart-ass factor. which is you got to deal with between the time of the debate and the time of the election, what you call a smart ass or this kind of nonsense. And
all right, I want to give our number out here, Jay. Then I want to talk to you about your 2001 biography, Saving Lives, and so an incident you mentioned in that. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. It seems to me that you're asking people to keep their opinions to themselves, right?
No, I'm not asking people to keep their opinions to themselves, because on election day, you're going to be able to go and give your opinion 100%. And certainly that we have a lot of these clubs, and we have these political science debate situations, this kind of nonsense where you can go. But when you're in the workplace, or you're at home, or you're sitting around with friends and you're having a beer, or you're having a bowling night or something, certainly in a situation where you're having a beer, you're going out bowling, you're doing that, last thing that anybody expects is for some, and again, forgive my characterization, but the last thing anybody expects from smartass to come in and start saying, well, you know, John Kerry this or George Bush that, this guy's acting like a smartass. Now, again, the natural tendency is to get a little upset, and you don't want to grab the guy and maybe tell him, you know, keep your mouth shut. What we're saying is, you simply say to the guy, you know, Sam, I don't have time for your nonsense, because I got a life, I got wife support, I got children, I don't have time for your nonsense. And just say that.
All right, in your 2001 biography, Saving Lives, you mentioned an incident in your own home that led you to create Operation Fair Play in connection with the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
That's true.
Tell me about that.
I had been married at that time to Cindy about 9 years, Phil, and I know you know Cindy, and I had a particularly tough day. I was working a shift at the utility plant and then going over to Bob Trainer's house. We were using his house as our jail that night to work the night shift with CAP. And I came home, it was just before the 2000 election. And my wife had watched the Gore-Bush debate, at that time it was Al Gore, George Bush. And I was a Gore supporter. And she started talking about how great Bush was, and she'd seen the election. And she starts to go into what I call into this kind of this smart-ass deal where she, you know, he's talking about his environmental plans, plan to create more jobs and so forth. And without thinking, I came around with my fist.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I don't remember really much after that. Yeah, we had to replace some patio furniture, so it must have been...
Yeah.
So that's when I thought, if my wife had not acted like she's a smart, you know, some kind of a big shot, this never would have happened. So really, Operation Fair Play is not just for those of us who, you know, we got a life. We're out here living our lives, and here comes some smartass. Well, let me tell you all about John Kerry. Let me tell you about George Bush. I saw the debate. It's also for those out there who have a tendency, and you know who you are, and I'm addressing your audience right now. You people know who you are. You think you're so smart, and you start talking, and before you know it, someone's broken a chair over your head. And we don't want that to happen. We don't want workplace violence. And
how much of what you are saying will inspire this kind of thing?
Well, Phil, I don't think.
No, but how much of what you are saying is going to...
That's like saying how much of what the NRA does inspires violence. Well, naturally, nothing. The NRA is a very responsible organization. And
well, there are people who would disagree with you on that. Some people think the NRA does inspire violence by inspiring gun ownership and a sort of entitlement to use a weapon. I don't happen to be one of them.
Well, that's nonsense.
Well, I don't happen to be one.
Well, that's nonsense. And everybody will tell you it's nonsense. And it's like saying, you know, there's the way things are and the way things want to be. And I'm just saying, after the debates, when you do have Mr. Big Shot coming into the office, when you do have a smarty pants and a smart ass type of deal, and you want to say, oh, I saw the debate, you know, my opinion is this and that, there's going to be a tendency for somebody to go over to the Coca-Cola machine, drop in.
Seems like a waste of 50 cents.
Well, let me tell you something. It's not so much a waste of 50 cents. It's a waste of a guy's head. If you want to go into the workplace and provoke this kind of violence, we're trying to keep workplace violence and domestic violence from happening.
Is a large percentage, and we're talking with Jay Sanos, 1-800-449-8686. He believes that a large percentage of workplace and domestic violence, would I be right in saying, is caused by this kind of smart-ass, as you call it, a smart-ass thing?
It's absolutely a big percentage of it caused by that. So you get some kind of a smart-ass, especially a wife who has been at home, she's been taking care of the baby, she's been scrubbing out your underwear or what have you. Now she sees the debates. Now she thinks she's on, what's that ridiculous show I used to watch? It's kind of a deal, like Crossfire, that McLaughlin group. Now she thinks she's on that show. Well, you know, honey, I did this and that. So she goes from being a woman that you could depend on for a certain kind of wife, I suppose, to someone who's all of a sudden she thinks, you know, as they say, she doesn't think her stuff smells. And I don't want you to do what I did, which is to come around with the back of your hand for no reason.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Jay Santos with us, talking about domestic and workplace violence peaking after the debates, because people are going to be seeing the debates, coming into the workplace or into the home and saying, well, I saw the debate and here's what I think. He calls it the Mr. Big Shot, which is a Jungian term for a part of our psyche, which is that part of us that thinks we know everything. It's a smarty pants or smart ass kind of a persona, and people react violently to that. Now, you heard him say, some worker is talking about the debates that he just saw, and a guy goes over to the Coke machine, pulls out a bottle of Squirt, and breaks it over the guy's head. They're trying to prevent that. Two ways. One, keep it to yourself until election day. Two, if you're that person who's prone to that kind of violent act, just tell that individual to, you got more things to do than to be sitting around watching debates. You got a life. 1-800-449-8686. As we talk about workplace and domestic violence, inspired by the debates on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police with us. Jay, I want to ask you before we take our phone calls at 1-800-449-8686. As you talk about the debates and how they inspire in the workplace and in the home violence, who are you supporting for president?
Phil, I'm a John Kerry supporter myself, but that really doesn't have anything to do...
No, wait, I just want to know something. If somebody came into the office following the debates and said, hey, I saw Bush and I really like him a lot, and started going on and on...
Well, that individual knows, if he knows me, he knows that he's stepping over the line, and so I don't think that...
Well, let's just say, for instance, this person doesn't know you, and they've come in, and you're a John Kerry supporter, and they're talking about Bush. You're saying that individual is inspiring workplace violence.
What I'm saying, Phil, is simply this. You want to see the debates, that's fine. You want to express how you feel about the politicians on November the 2nd, that's fine, too. You want to start coming in and starting getting into what we call the smart-ass modality or the smart-ass configuration, you're going to have a problem because...
Well, that's why I get my question about you. If you're a Kerry supporter and a guy comes in and starts talking about Bush...
Well, the guy comes in and starts talking about if he's doing it in a smart-ass way. In other words, if he says, you know, well, I happen to like George Bush, and I say, well, I happen to like John Kerry, and he says, well, I like George Bush because he's, you know, he's a good man, I say, I like John Kerry's good man, that's fine. But if he starts doing, you know, I heard President Bush last night say in the debate, okay, right there, that's what we call a trigger phrase. That's a trigger phrase, and that can trigger in the person hearing it, okay, so you think you're smarter than me? Is that what we're talking about? And the guy will probably say, no, I don't, which is, of course, a lie. But you don't understand, you have to this and that. And so then you have a tendency to reach down maybe with the left hand or right hand, what have you, and reach for a soup crate or a milk bucket or anything. You know, you're going to look for it.
What you're saying is you're looking for a weapon.
It is a natural tendency brought on by these people trying to be big shot. And all I'm trying to say, I'm a John Kerry supporter, yeah. Some guy wants to talk about Bush, that's fine. He wants to talk about Bush, you know, on the debates. Now I'm reaching for a chair. And so I don't want to do that.
So you have to take your own advice and say, well, hey, pal, you know.
Well, that's true, but they're the ones that trigger it. You have to understand that. So we'll call a smart-ass, big shot, thinks the stuff doesn't smell bad.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Lori, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos. Lori?
Hello, this is Lori.
Yeah, go right ahead,
yeah,
Lori.
I just really wanted to take objection to him blaming other people for his violence when he decided to hit his wife because she said some things about her vote. His actions are his responsibility.
Oh,
it's
not somebody
else's responsibility when someone uses violence against you.
He has
to own up and be a man and take responsibility for his behavior against his wife. I completely object to the fact that he puts all the blame on her.
Ma'am, I'm as a member of law enforcement,
Well, let's be clear. As Citizens Auxiliary Police is a police agency that you and some friends,
we have constitutional right to citizens arrest. So, you know, every time somebody says we're not real police force,
Use violence against their wives all the time. That's not unusual that a police officer will use violence.
That's not true. This happened here. Somebody was arrested
for beating his wife, and he's a cop.
Well, that's not always. That's probably the one guy in the whole country that did it.
No, that's not one guy in the whole country.
No, that's the only guy that did it. Because if you look at the statistics, police
officers. I've worked in domestic violence for 25 years.
Well, then you know what I'm talking about.
I worked it from the inside out.
Then you know what I'm talking about. That after these debates, a lot of these women. And the men, too. I'm not saying the women, the men, too.
I'm talking about you and that you put the responsibility for your violence on your wife.
Well, you,
Jay, I take tremendous objection to that.
Well, let me help the caller out, Phil, with some things she may not understand. First of all...
Well, wait a minute. The caller said she worked with domestic violence. Were you counseling, Lori?
I worked in counseling. I worked with men who batter women for 3 years. I've worked for the district attorney's office. I worked in all aspects of this issue.
This woman is mired in the very syndrome that I've been talking about, which is she thinks she's smarter than everybody else. That's the very thing that causes this kind of thing. Listen to the way you're laughing.
I cause violence?
Listen to the way you're laughing.
Well, you know, can't I laugh?
Well, because
women
you're belittling.
Aren't supposed to be able to laugh?
You think you know everything.
No, I don't think
I
know everything, but I do think that you are responsible for your own behavior.
I didn't say that I wasn't. Then who has control over your behavior? I didn't say that I wasn't, but I
did say
my wife should know better than to start going on and on.
This sounds like 1950s. I can't believe you even have this man on the
air. No, I'm not talking about...
Jay, the lady's question is a valid one. Is your wife not entitled to her political opinion?
Of course she is.
Is she not entitled to express it?
She's entitled to express it, but... Are you going to start talking like you're a big shot?
She's not entitled to be smarter than you.
Okay, if you want to talk like a big shot, because that's what you're doing.
What do you mean a big shot?
Why can't I enter into a real debate with you without being a big shot? No, ma'am, you're the kind of person who in the morning go in the bathroom and do your duty, and you think it smells like roses. I'm the kind of guy...
No, hold on.
This is really insulting. I can't even believe you're going
to
talk like that.
No, ma'am, you may think it's insulting, but do I... You know, there's an old saying, as Shakespeare said, methinks thou protestest too much. You sound like, you know, there's some truth to what I'm saying. If you come into work acting all smarty pants about the election,
I don't know what acting all smarty pants is. If someone has an opinion, I think they're entitled to express it.
And if I don't like that opinion,
I can walk away.
Can I argue with them? Yes.
I have a number of options.
If you come into work, you act all smarty pants, and someone throws a water cooler at you, are you going to come and blame Jay Santos?
I'm not going to blame you.
That's what I'm talking about. I don't even know who you are. That's what I'm talking about.
All right, Lori, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. I got to tell you, it sounded to me like you thought that woman was the very person that you're talking about in the workplace and in the home.
That is exactly correct. That lady there embodies this kind of smart, you know, for want of better words, kind of smart ass. Oh, well, yeah, it's domestic violence, you know. Okay, that's great. Around the debate time, somebody come in and says, well, you know, I worked in domestic violence, and I'm this and I'm that. And then someone picks up a water cooler and drops it on their head. Is that Jay Santa's fault? No. I'm trying to save lives. That's my job, and that's what we're trying to prevent. Don't be a smartass after the debate and try to prevent domestic and workplace violence.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Back on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The epitome of radio. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
J. Jay Sanos with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police this coming debate season. Now, right after the presidential debates in the very end of this month, Mr. Sanos and other law enforcement allied agencies around the country are going to be looking at the problem of domestic and workplace violence inspired by people coming into the workplace and beginning to talk like they know a lot, I guess, is the kind of a know-it-all thing, right?
Know-it-all, or, you know, it's kind of a smart-ass thing. We say smart-ass, but it's the same dynamic. And in our book that I wrote called Saving Lives, which is about the founding of the Citizens Auxiliary Police and my life subsequent to that, I wrote about Cindy and the night that I came in right after the Gore-Bush debates. I was a very big Gore supporter, as I am a very big John Kerry supporter. And I had told her, let's not, you know, don't start thinking you're all smart and everything, because she'd been watching the debates and talking about it. Sure enough, I came home and she did. Now, when my fist came around, and I blacked out.
Did you seek help for that?
I did, yes.
Did you get anger management for that?
I did not. They wanted me to go into anger management, and I think I'm a little bit too much of a... I guess I'm a traditional man, insofar as that goes. But I told her, I said, I'm sorry, but I'm also sorry that you support George Bush. And she saw what I was saying. She shook my hand, and it was all cleared up.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Jay Sanos on the workplace and domestic violence inspired by people who are smartasses coming in and thinking they know all about politics. Kyle, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, is this not for real? I mean, come on. I mean, hitting your wife over this, this doesn't... I don't know...
I don't know if you vote, sir, but politics are very important to me and to anybody.
Yeah, but I don't know what workplace... I don't know what workplace you work in, because to me, I can carry on a civilized conversation. I mean, the only smartasses are the people that write books, and they're the ones that think they know it all.
Wait a minute.
You have a problem with a female or anybody having an opinion
because you're not smart enough
to keep up with a person.
Where do you work?
I work in Nashville. I'm in the mortgage business.
All right. The mortgage business is the mortgage business. Now you get some smartass coming in. He's talking politics. What's that got to do with it?
So you're telling me just because I'm in the mortgage business, I don't know anything else?
No, well, you think you know a lot, but all you've been able to do is call me names, see? See, so that doesn't speak very much to your intellectual ability.
Well, I'm sorry I haven't written a book, and I haven't beaten my wife just because she disagreed with my opinion. The last time I checked, women have a right in this world, and they don't have to be at home doing laundry and keep taking care of the kids. That can be a man's role as well, and if my wife has an opinion, and she does... She's an attorney, and she's a very smart... Obviously, you couldn't spend 5 minutes with her.
See, he's stepping over the line now.
Well, how am I stepping over the line? You hit a female.
What do you mean he's stepping over the line?
Why did you draw the line? You hit a woman.
Well, no, you're stepping all... Now you're starting to talk all about how women's rights and all, you know...
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I speaking to something you don't understand again? Because obviously you don't understand much.
Well, let me tell you something.
Go ahead, tell me. I'm interested.
I don't know where you work. I don't know where you work, but... All I'm saying is...
You don't come throw Coca-Cola at me, Cam? Come on.
Are you trying to tell me you're in the mortgage business and you're wasting your boss's time and money by sitting around telling everybody about George Bush and all that nonsense?
Actually, I am the boss, and I would be wasting my own money. And I didn't say anything about George Bush or John Kerry, but I can guarantee you one thing. If I didn't know who I was voting for, I would vote for Bush just because of you. But obviously, I'm a little bit more intelligent than
that. See, that's the whole thing. So you're the kind of guy that would step over the line, and you would provoke me into some kind of a violent response, which I don't want to have.
That's your issue. That is your issue.
My
this
issue?
Is no more
I come to work today, and I want to do my job at the utility plant where I work as security, and you come in, and you're going on about the debates, so I come up to you, and I say, hey, Kyle, hell, what do you know about it? You're all this, that, this, and that. And are you asking for me to go and find a large wrench and hit you over the head with it?
Dude, then you got issues, because that's ridiculous. I can sit there. I have a guy that works for me in my office that's an Alabama fan, and I'm a Tennessee fan. Does that mean I'm going to fire him and beat him just because he says Roll Tide? You know, other people in this country can have opinions.
Why should he say that?
Your issue is you don't sound intelligent enough that every time somebody has an opinion that you don't understand, you sit there and take a wrench to them.
Is that the way, Mr. Sanos, if I could jump in?
No, this guy says he's got a guy in his office. He's a Tennessee fan, and he's an Alabama fan. Guy comes right up to his face, right 2 inches from his nose, and says, Roll Tide. And that guy's going to take it? Is that what you're saying to me?
Hey, trust me, that's a lot more important than politics in these parts.
Well, I can tell you, sir, we know who wears the dress in your family.
You couldn't hang 5 minutes with my wife,
my friend. We know who wears the culottes in your family, I'll tell you that.
Hey, well, see, Jake.
Hey, yeah? I mean.
No, you know what your problem is? You live in the 1950s. I don't have a problem saying that my wife can think that I have a 50-50 relationship.
I want the caller to hear what I've got, Phil, because I knew that. What's your wife's name, Butch? No.
All right, let's stop with the insults, okay, gentlemen? Now, what did you want to hear?
I want this gentleman to hear. This is a tape that I rolled the night that Cindy and I had our argument, and it was right after this that I wrote the book.
Now, what were we hearing?
That was Cindy going through the back door.
I'm surprised Cindy's still with you.
So, sir, you know, if you you want to hear yourself doing that,
get out of here. All right.
Bill, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Very nice show.
Thanks. Thank you very much for calling.
Way to keep it entertaining to have a loony on like this guy.
Yes, sir. You can call me all the names you want, sir. Roll Tide. Did you hear that?
Did he hear what?
I said Roll Tide. Did that piss him off?
You mean you rolled tape the night you threw your wife through a door?
I did, because I knew that I'd want to write this book about how she caused me to throw her through a door because she voted for Bush. And so I rolled tape. She came in. Sure enough, she got into what I call big shot configuration. OJ, I heard George Bush say this, and I came around with a hand. And that's, you can hear her bouncing across the hardwood floor.
You know what? I echo what that man said. I'm surprised Cindy is still with you.
I don't believe I said she's still with me. Did I?
No, I guess you didn't.
Nor did I say if she was still with us.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization swings into action. It may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers,
or the citizens auxiliary police.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved.
The citizens auxiliary police is funded through donations, what we collect at malls and stuff. I'm Jay Fanos on the Phil Henry Show.
Woo!
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Who wouldn't let the good father take a look for an Arby's beef witch?
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And now the adventures of young John Kerry.
My name is young John Kerry, and I want to be the captain of the baseball team. Are you kidding or something, Kerry? I played youth baseball. Well, I watched the Dodgers and stuff. But I was the MVP on my Pony League team. Well, I was drafted by the Yankees, but they gotta keep it a secret.
Ha 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 ha! What a lying turd!
What are you guys talking? You guys call me a liar?
Yeah, you're a liar, John Kerry. You wasn't drafted by the Yankees or nothing like that. That's what we think to you.
Later that day...
Teacher? Mr. Brown?
Yes, John Kerry?
The other kids, they're using drugs, and one of them tried to touch me, and I think he's trying to turn me into a... like a molester himself, and all kinds of stuff.
Why, those dirty little bastards. I'll get them for you, John. You there, Georgie!
What?
Did you try to touch John's privates?
No, he's lying!
No, he wouldn't lie. He's... young John Kerry. Well, there's another episode of Young John Kerry. 1-800-449-8686 here on the Phil Henry Show. And don't forget our website, www.philhenryshow.com, www.philhenryshow.com. Let's take a phone call. Hi, Jerry, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What's going on, man?
Oh, hello, Phil. How are you doing?
Good.
I called in last night. I don't know if you remember me, but I had called in about a bit you did last night on Dan Rather.
Oh, you called me saying the Dan Rather bit shouldn't have ended with Dan being sexually humiliated. Was that you?
Yes, sir. That's me.
You're the gentleman that used to write for Everybody Loves Raymond?
Yes, sir. That is correct. Yes, sir.
Now, let me guess. Are you going to critique a bit that I just did?
Well, no. First of all, I want you to understand, Phil, I'm a very big admirer of your work. I think you are wonderful at what you do. But I wanted to comment on the Young John Kerry piece of material that you just did, if I could.
Go ahead.
I think that while it makes a point, I don't think it was all that funny. And in that way, I think you strayed away from what you usually do, and you have gone down what I call the Saturday Night Live road, which is they make a lot of good points, but they're never all that funny.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not pissing you off.
No. You're not pissing me off. I don't. If anything, I don't want to be like. I know there's a lot of stuff that Saturday Night Live does that is funny, but.
Well, they occasionally hit the mark, but most of the time they're trying to make a point rather than just be funny. And I think the Young John Kerry bit you did just now.
Well, will you do me a favor, Jerry?
Yes, sir.
Would you not call tomorrow night if you hear something that sucks? You can just send me an email or something. Because otherwise, Chris is going to put you on the air.
Well, I don't want to humiliate you. I do have professional television writing experience. I also wrote on Malcolm in the Middle. I'm not saying I'm proud of the shows I wrote. I worked on Malcolm in the Middle and King of Queens. Nobody can be proud of that.
Let me ask you something. What would you have had Young John Kerry do to make that bit funny?
Well, I think in the middle of the bit, I think somebody should have kicked him in the nuts or. You know, where he's going, I want to be the captain. Somebody should have just come right up with a sock full of ball bearings and hit him square in the nuts with it. To me, that'd be hysterical. And you don't have to have no punchline. You know, you just...
Well, isn't that kind of a simple grab, man? I mean, in other words, why don't they just fart and end the bit?
Well, the fart doesn't mean anything. But here's this guy trying to be... I heard the guy he had on just now talking about being a smart ass. And I thought the John Kerry bit was good to follow that up with. But if you're making a smart-ass point, I say, well, I'm John Kerry, and I want to be captain of the team. And the kid goes, yeah, well, why don't you be captain of this? And puts like a lead-lined toe of an oil, a petroleum-based boot right into his sack. To me, that's what I call funny.
Well, I mean,
see, you're laughing at it.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's a much funnier way of going than having...
See, he goes and snitches to the teacher, and I understand that's supposed to be John Kerry making up stories about his Vietnam and all of this, and also saying the soldiers were rapists and murderers, right?
That was a comment on that.
I understand the point you're making, but this wasn't funny. So that's all I'm trying to say. But I love everything you do, and please understand that I'm a great admirer of yours. But I would definitely end a bit somebody coming up and just nailing him sweet with a baseball bat right between the legs. And that's comedy.
All right.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying, Jerry. Thank you very much, sir.
You're more welcome, sir.
It's Jerry. That's the second time he's called in to say, hey, that bit you just did, good work, but it ain't funny. Well, this is... It's from yesterday's show on the Phil Henry Show. It's a flashback, so it's got to be. It's Margaret Gray talking about the young man that she grabbed his rear end at the Kerry campaign headquarters, and he didn't respond, and she's beautiful. He must be gay.
Phil Henry Show. Comedy gold.
You keep saying that it's all about looks and all about touching men. Isn't it about respect? And obviously you don't have any respect for yourself or others since you're taking phone calls during this interview.
I'm sorry.
Turn the phone off, please.
All right, I'll turn it off. How did I not have respect for that young man? I'm showing him what I think he's a hunk.
So there's other ways to show affection without reaching out and grabbing somebody. My fiancé would be completely embarrassed and feel disrespected by having a woman grab his ass, old or young or ugly or good looking.
You know, Tammy, that's what... Hold on a minute.
What is that, ma'am?
It's my beeper, I'm sorry. Tammy, that's what he tells you. But when
no, that's what I
him,
know. I watched him for a year
him,
before we started going out.
Have you been around him?
And during that time, he never
would have appreciated anything like that. When women did
of
things
course,
like that, he walked away and asked them not to do it any
that's
longer.
That's the act that men put on for us, but when they're by
he
themselves...
He wasn't asking for anybody. That's just disrespectful and immoral.
Can you turn the phone off, please?
I'm sorry.
And he was in his workplace. That's sexual harassment at work.
And turn the beeper off, please?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Tammy.
So you're saying that it's okay for somebody, a male worker that I work with, to come to me and grab my ass? And
no,
if
I did not say that.
Nicely,
I said it was all right. I said it was all right. First of all, I don't know. Look, I'm saying this. If he comes up to you and he gives your rear end a squeeze at the age of 50 or whatever,
his face.
Oh, my God, how old are you?
40.
My God, Tammy, be grateful that a man is squeezing your rump at 40.
My God, woman,
oh
be
my
glad
God.
That you're still alive. If
I am glad I'm alive.
If somebody grabbed my ass, he would get slapped. And I'm surprised
so
that he didn't get slapped.
Would you please close the door or something when you're doing that?
I'm sorry.
That young man had much more respect for a human being than you ever will
cranberry
have.
Cranberry juice. Well, I will say this. That
off with the phone.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I work for a living.
Yeah,
I
so
work
do I. I work for a living, and I go to school, and I take care of my family, and I would never treat anybody the way you're treating me right now.
At the age of 40, a man comes up and gives a gentle grope. You should say, thank you, Jesus. Thank
oh,
you for
if the man came up and gave me a smile and said, you're very attractive, I would say, thank you, Jesus.
If you were get,
will you
if
turn
he
off
came
the
up and grabbed my ass, I would slap him across the face and tell him how rude he was.
So in other words, hey, I think your rear end is shaped nicely. Oh, really? Well, I hate your guts. I
no,
think
that's not
sick.
What I'd say, but
I
he wouldn't grab
sick.
Me, would he?
Where's turn off the pager
there's
on the phone.
Line there. And when you grabbed that
else,
young man's butt, did you know that he was single?
A single? He's a young buck queer.
How did you know that he wasn't attached?
I think that...
Pager and phone.
I think the young buck queer...
And please don't use that term.
Well, forget it. I thought free speech was alive in America, but apparently it isn't. Hello?
All right, Tammy, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
You know what she looks like to me with her, with your good shoes and your bad bag? You look like a rube. A well-scrubbed, hustling rube. Good nutrition has given you length of phone, but you're not too much far removed from two generations of poor white trash. And oh, how the boys found you with their sticky, tired fumblings in the back seats of cars. And all you wanted to do was get out, get anywhere, all the way to the FBI. Do you think I have smoker's throat, Phil?
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Psycho? No, that doesn't even begin to describe that freaking Mrs. Bates, that Joan Crawford in straitjacket. That's Margaret. Coming up next hour, the Prince of Darkness show, Sew Me Up So Tight. And also tonight, we have Lloyd Bonafide. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. The world. Now, Phil Hendry.
Coming up tonight, we have a feature called Prince of Darkness Radio. Yeah, Satan Incarnate returns with his own particular little talk show, and we will also have this evening a visit from Lloyd Bonafide, who is a heating and plumbing, retired heating and plumbing guy from Alhambra, who's going to be talking about smoking and how it is just a horrible thing, and he's teaching his grandson not to smoke. Tomorrow night, Bobby and Steve Dooley and Michael Moore's America. Speaking of Michael Moore, our new CD, the best of the year 2004 CD of the Phil Hendry Show called Fahrenheit 7-Eleven, is going to be the cover of this thing. The artwork on the CD is going to be, I would like to say, as the kids used to, rad. It's going to be a very radical statement, and I don't want to get any further into it, but I thought, does anybody remember, when I was a kid, a long time ago, the Beatles came out with an album called Yesterday and Today, and the cover of the album had the Beatles, the four Beatles sitting there wearing butcher smocks with chopped up, you know, like baby dolls and meat all over them. And it was just, it came out and was pulled. Now, today, of course, that would mean nothing. I mean, there is today, artistic freedom for artists that, like, they didn't used to have. But it, you got to understand, everything kind of moves in stages. In other words, right now we think that probably, you know, really extreme kinds of metal bands, such as, you know, Limp Bizkit at its best. I mean, that's just about as insane as music's going to get. Like, in 50 years, I told my kids this. I said, do you realize that your kids are going to come to you someday and say to you, you know, would you please take the Linkin Park off? It's really boring. And my son Alex goes, are you kidding me? This music's always going to be cool. I said, I know what you mean, man. I always thought my music would always be cool until you guys started telling me, can we not hear this anymore? And I'm playing, like, Third Rock from the Sun by Hendrix. So someday, Linkin Park, all his bands are going to be passe, and the kids are going to think it's just as lame as can be, and will you take that crap off so they can get back into their holographic, you know, whatever they're doing, playing on the holodeck, whatever. So, you know, all of these things kind of build, but we're going to do with our CD cover something that is a little bit of a statement. But it'll be funny, in keeping with the program that we do. We try to keep it funny when we can. Sometimes we don't feel like being funny, and that's just the way it is. But most of the time, it's a funny show. And
yeah, most of the time.
Never asked your opinion about it, bud.
How come you hit me as a sidekick? You won't let me talk.
Because, you know, the idea of you as a sidekick was you were going to say cool stuff, not lame stuff like everything you say. I thought you were going to say stuff that was cool.
Like what?
Like, yeah, Phil, that's great.
Oh, okay. You mean like Ellen K?
Yeah, like Ellen K does.
Jesus.
Anyway, so that'll be coming out, and it will be out in time for the holiday season. So if you want to buy one for the, you know, for the Phil Henry fan in your family, or maybe you want to buy one for yourself, because if you're listening, I'm going to assume that there's something about the show you like. And while that is being made, while that's in the process of production, you can pick up our Best of the Year 2003 CD, which is available on our website, www.philhenryshow.com. Now, just a brief look at the news today. Senator Kerry made this statement. Now, I'm just reporting this. Senator Kerry said, President Bush retreated from Fallujah and other communities in Iraq, and he never would have done that. Now, what I'm getting is this. What the campaign has told him is, get off of that you wouldn't have gone to war in Iraq kick. That's not working. Now you should keep hitting, or at least reinvent yourself as a guy that was in favor of the war. And not only were you in favor of the war, but you never would have retreated in Fallujah, which he didn't retreat. He just pulled the army out and put the Marines back in. But why confuse the issue with facts, right? And not only that, you would be in Iraq. And then he wrapped up what he said with this comment. He said, and I will win the war in Iraq and the war on terror around the world, period. That's what he said. And when he said the word period, I realized, oh, I know what he's doing. He's trying to be emphatic, to emphasize, as the campaign told him to, this is the new direction. You're hard ass, you're going to kick ass on terrorists, and you're going to do it better than Bush. That's the direction. So that's what I'm assuming he's going to do between now and the election. I think he's settled on that message. I'm kicking ass in Iraq. So if you were in favor of the senator because you felt he was going to somehow withdraw us from Iraq, or I guess in the minds of a lot of people, this is just a sadistic carnage in Iraq, and it's just like the Vietnam War. People who don't know anything about Vietnam, if you were in favor of the senator for those reasons, I think the guy is just throwing you a knuckleball, man. I think it's a knuckler in the dirt, and you swung away on it. Strike three. So now he's suckered in everybody to think he's the anti-war candidate, and he is as pro-war as President Bush, only he's going to do it slightly better. What that is, though, we don't know. I think it's going to be something like this. While our guys are fighting for their lives over there, Kerry's going to put the war on hold and go have coffee with Chirac to see if it's okay with him that we continue to defend our country and root out terrorists, right? So he laid that message out today. Then, as I mentioned to you yesterday, this new advisor he's got, she's something else. Her name is Rice. Her name's Dr. Rice. She's from the Brookings Institute. She's the new Condoleezza Rice, except she's the, you know, a lighter, just more of a mulatto version, something, I don't know. And she said, Well, Senator Kerry is going to fight terror around the world, wherever he finds terrorists, and that's what he's committed to do. And I told you, when the guy on TV said, well, the terrorists are in Iraq right now, is he going to fight them there? She said, that's not the argument. But he's going to fight terrorists. So what's happening, if you really are following this campaign, it's really interesting. If you guys are supporters of Kerry, I'm breaking the bad news to you as delicately as I can. And you're listening to Phil Hendry, a Democrat who never was a Kerry supporter, because I could see this coming a mile away when the guy really wasn't clear. It's like this. Bush is really doing a good job on the war on terror, but we have to be against it because we're Democrats, so let's come up with some position that's against it. And they never were able to put one together coherently because there isn't one. There isn't one. There is no position. If there was, man, Senator Kerry would have been on it. He'd be all over it, like white on rice, baby. He'd be crawling all over that thing. But there isn't. Otherwise, he would have been on it like back in the spring. The only good position to take on the war on terror and the war in Iraq is you're in favor of it. So he's now changed. He's in favor of it. He never would have retreated in Fallujah. Those are his words. He never would have retreated out of the communities in Iraq. Those are his words. He's going to fight terrorists wherever he finds them. Those are the words of his security advisor and the campaign spokesman, the new Dr. Rice. And however, please don't ask him if he's going to fight terrorists in Iraq, because he won't say specifically that that's what he's doing in Iraq. Because if he does, then he's really coming out basically full square in favor of President Bush's position. It's like they said, they made this statement, and then the Bush campaign said, yeah, that's what we've been saying all along. In other words, he's just repeating our campaign plan, or our plan for the country. I'm going to say this as gently as I can. After everything that I just said to you, if you vote for Senator Kerry for president, you're making a big mistake. You can't blame people for thinking you're a little foolish then. You can't blame people for thinking you're just a slightly foolish if you vote for this guy for president, because it's a bill of goods, sports fans. Bigger than life, man. And me and, Senator Miller and a few other Democrats who are in favor of President Bush, we see it. And we're not going to sell our party down the road. We're not going to leave a legacy for the Democratic Party as being the one that retreated from the future. We're not going to do it. I'm not going to help my party, the Democratic Party, do that. I'm voting for Bush, because if I vote for Kerry, I'm voting for a full-scale retreat into the 20th century. Last time I checked, it's the 21st century, man. It's a whole new ballgame. This is a whole new world, baby. It's a violent place, filled with all kinds of villainy. There's, you know how they say that the devil confuses you with with lies and the truth? I mean, this is what we're dealing with. You know, you have to, remember good old, what's his name, Father Marin in The Exorcist? Don't speak to the demon. The demon confuses you, you know? If you try to dialogue with these animals that are at work in Iraq right now, and in Afghanistan and around the world, it's like you're trying to dialogue with the demon. He'll confuse you with the facts that his people are suffering, and with lies, you know, America's the great Satan that caused all of it. So that was the news today, and let me just say this. People who oppose the war in Iraq do it for romantic reasons, and to have something interesting to say at cocktail parties. There's no opposition to the war in Iraq or the war on terror that is rooted in an intellectually sound argument. The only opposition to the war in Iraq is opposition held by people who are doing it for romantic, antiquated, anti-Vietnam War reasons, and to have interesting things to say at cocktail parties, and to be, like, angry because they were rejected by their parents. Most of the people who oppose the war in Iraq and the war on terror do so because they're afraid, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with being afraid, but they let their fear eliminate their reasoning. And therefore, there is no reason to oppose our efforts in Iraq or Afghanistan. There is none, but people are going to do it because they're frightened of the future. And in the case of like Moore and cats like that, because he wants to stir crap, man. He wants to just oppose something so people will talk about him. You know, if I wanted, like, for instance, if I wanted somebody to like really dig me for being Phil, I would be like against the war. Because everybody says, what are you, just one more conservative talk show host? I don't need that. I don't need people lumping me in with the rest of those guys. I couldn't be more different from those guys, right? I don't need that. I could easily say, you know what? I'm against the war in Iraq, and therefore I could preempt all of the Air Americas of the world and all these phony, trumped up, posing kind of people who oppose the war for programming reasons, right? But I don't do that because it's just not what's in my heart. So I have to speak what's in my heart, and I run the risk of getting lumped in with everybody else. I know why I'm against the war. The guys that oppose the war, I know why I'm in favor of it. The guys that are in favor of it who are on the radio, I don't know why they're in favor of it. They might be in favor of it because they see that Rush Limbaugh is in favor of it, and therefore it's going to get them ratings, right? People don't listen to my show to hear my political opinion. They listen to my show to hear comedy. But I'm going to give it anyway because I have to. Otherwise, I'm going to go out and I'm going to strangle somebody. I'll probably kill Chris, Mark, everyone. And then what? Then who am I going to get to work for me? And like that.
Me too?
Yes, you too. You first, bud. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, the Prince of Darkness show here, the Phil Henry Show. And also, Sew Me Up So Tight, I'm Talking Through a Hole in My Face, our Dr. Jack Briscoe and Sheila Skelly plastic surgery segment. And today's guest, Dolly Parton, on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
And now it's time for the Prince of Darkness Show with Satan Incarnate. Thanks a lot, Jerry Johnson, and hello, everybody. Hi, I'm Satan. I'm Lucifer. Things are cooking here in hell.
Yeah!
Wow! Somebody got a hot foot, huh? Beelzebub is with us. How you doing today, babe?
I'm good.
He's quick. Anyway, we have got a great show for you tonight here from hell. And I am Satan, Lucifer, the Prince of Darkness. I'm the guy that, well, let's just say you had most of your fun with, but at the end of the day, you're going to pay me a little bit of a visit, isn't that right?
Woo-hoo-hoo! Wow!
That's right. All right, listen, I want to talk especially to young people out there. See, listen, don't smoke, but if you're going to smoke, do it here. Anyway, that's it. Like I tell you what, why don't you do this for me, Beelzebub? Go out and get our first guest, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to have our very first guest, and who is it?
Our very first guest is the first at...
Get out of here. Let me do it, you moron. That's what I get for hiring a guy. You know, he wasn't like the first or second or third fallen angel. He was like the 193rd fallen angel, a dumbass.
Yeah, that's me.
All right, listen, we're going to bring on our very first guest tonight. She is the most recent female suicide bomber from the Palestinian territories. Let's say hello to Fosha Halabu. Welcome to hell, Fosha.
I don't know. Why am I here?
Well, you see, you're a suicide bomber, and I bet you they told you you were going to heaven, huh?
Are you Allah? Oh, Allah.
No, I'm not Allah. Get your lips off my feet. Put her on spit number 3.
Please, I was trying to have a...
Yeah! Well, she's gone. All right, so who's next?
The boss, our next guest is Russ Meyer, the former filmmaker.
Russ Meyer, how are you doing, Russ? Why am I here? Well, Russ, you made porno movies, but you're in hell not because you made porno movies, because you made porno movies that didn't show anything. But I thought I'd go to heaven for... No, you're cooking, baby. Are you kidding me? God doesn't want you. Hell, man, he's going back to some of that Caballero stuff. Get out of here, you nut.
Ouch!
All right, so there goes Russ Meyer, one of our big fans. Hey, listen, I want to get a phone call in before we bring on tonight's special guest, so let's take some phone calls to you. This is Satan Incarnate. Welcome to the Prince of Darkness Show. I'm broadcasting from hell. I'm the devil. And I'm the guy that's, well, sooner or later going to meet me either up there or down here. Okay. Let's get a phone call. We got...
Go to line 3.
I'll go to line 3. Hi, you're talking to the devil. How you doing?
Hi. Is this the devil?
Yes, it is. How you doing?
I had a question for you, Satan.
Okay.
I took a Cosmopolitan Brazier ad into the bathroom. Am I gonna go to hell for that or anything?
No, you're not gonna go to hell. The Cosmopolitan Brazier ad. No, there's no nudity in that. You're not gonna go to hell. You mean you're just like playing with yourself?
Well,
oh, I see. You know, we went in there just to look at the aeronautical design of it. Get out of here, you nut. No, you're not going to go to hell for that, but I'll tell you one thing, friend. You could do a lot better, dude. Cheesy porn like that. I mean, come on. You can find better stuff on the railroad track. Get out of here. Cook him. Put him on spit three. All right, let's get another call here. Hi, you're on with the devil.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Satan. This is awesome.
How you doing, man?
Hey, man. Cook me.
Hey, there you go. You're cooked.
That's bitching.
All right. Let's go and talk now to our next guest, and go ahead and bring her on, Maxie. I mean, Beelzebub. You keep looking like Slapsy Maxie.
Here's the guest. Here she is.
All right. And let's welcome now Beverly Randall. And hi, Beverly. How are you doing?
I'm fine. What did I do?
Oh, nothing. You're just in hell. I know you recently died, and you wound up in hell, and let me tell you why. Do you know why you're here?
No, I don't.
Well, because you're the insufferable idiot that invented the baby on board side. Come on, baby. One more person said to the world of the unrealistic message that other people actually care about somebody else's kids other than their own. See you later, bitch. Hey, listen, that's all the time we have. I'm really sorry. Everybody, I want to thank Beelzebub. I want to thank, of course, Russ Meyer, our big guest, and the first one of the female suicide bombers to the Palestinian territories. They're all rotting right now in hell. Till next time, I'm the devil. I'm Satan, and this is the Prince of Darkness show. Drive safely going home tonight, kid. I love you. Okay, all right, yeah. Yeah, I love you, baby.
Prince of Doctors show is brought to you by... We don't have a sponsor, do we?
You don't need a sponsor, you jackass. I'm in hell. I'm in hell because I don't have a sponsor.
And by Ruben's Red Hots.
Well, how about that? The devil, man. So it's good to check in with the old Prince of Darkness to find out who's been consigned to the nether reaches, who's down there to the fifth ring. And as we like to say on our show, just take yourself off onto the horned one. 1-800-449-8686. Now, what were we going to do here, Chris? Oh, Margaret Gray is coming up. And I know she was on last night, but she's just going to do a very brief segment because if you heard, Cat Stevens, who is now, his name is something like Muhammad, some kind of name, He's an Islam dude. And anyway, this cat wasn't allowed into the country because it's a mix-up. They thought he was a terror dude. See, Mr. Stevens or Mr. Muhammad or whatever the hell he's calling himself gives money to charities that apparently have helped fund Hamas and some terrorist organizations, unbeknownst to him. He wound up on a terror list, and they won't let him in the country, and so on and so forth. So anyway, coming up, we're going to be talking with Margaret, and she is outraged. She's a huge Cat Stevens fan. And she's going to sing a Cat Stevens song in tribute. Talk about being in hell. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up tonight, it's Lloyd Bonafide. Tomorrow night, Bobby and Steve Dooley. And Michael Moore's America on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Going straight to the hot place. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
This is great. It always had, no matter what radio station I work at, no matter what radio station anybody works at, behind the scenes, someone topples a stack of something. And I just, moments ago, there's an entire stack of CDs, sound effect CDs that I use, and I just sent them flying onto the floor. It's probably not, if you wouldn't mind, Chris, that'd be great, dude. Because they've come out of the case. I don't know what goes with what. But I was looking for a sound effect, and they just all flew onto the floor. So if I roll, and I've been known to roll this chair right across my headphone cord to the point where I strangled myself. You know, with minutes to go before I got to go to the air, I got to put my headphones on, and the cord gets caught in the wheel of the chair so that I'm now kind of doing the segment with my head tilted deep to the left so I don't rip the cord out of the headphone jack. And at the same time, well, anyway, Margaret Gray joins us, and Margaret, you were on the show last night, and I'm bringing you back because you made an issue with certain superiors of mine, shall we say.
Phil, I didn't make an issue with any superiors. I asked...
Well, I was told by Mr. Hall that you demanded airtime, you know, in order to sing your song...
Phil, the point is this. If I don't come on your program and at least say something in defense of yourself, Islam, which is the name of Cat Stevens, by the way, in the clumsy way that you... I think the very disrespectful way in which you referred to him was unnecessary, then I don't think he's going to get a fair hearing. I understand you do a comedy show, quote-unquote.
Well, if you don't like it, you know, it's your business. But my opinions are my opinions.
It doesn't matter whether I like it or not. I think you should be fair. And that's why I'm on your program tonight, to tell you the reasons for Cat Stevens, Yusuf Islam, the reasons he believes the things he believes, and to also to enlighten a new generation of young people listening to your program to the wonderful music of Cat Stevens, and generally give them a truer idea of him than I think someone such as yourself would. You are very much in the Bush camp. You are very much...
Ma'am, I am not anti-Cat Stevens. Hell, I got the guy's CDs in my car, okay? It's just... I said I didn't know why they took him off the plane. It didn't seem fair.
You have his CDs.
Yes, I do.
Which ones?
I've got Catch Bullet 4. I got T for the Tillerman. I've got the one with Wild World.
Oh, my sweet living God. I got the one with Wild World. In other words...
I don't... That's T for the Tillerman.
Well, you see, in other words, you're just reaching, aren't you? You don't really...
I'm not reaching, man. Can I remind you of something? I was a disc jockey for 18 freaking years before I got into this talk radio crap. I happen to know a little bit about music, especially that era, when I got into the business.
Well, I'd like to do a tribute to him as only a tribute can be paid. And
well, if you want us to play some Cat Stevens music...
No, I don't want you to play Cat Stevens music. I think that's what a lot of other stations are doing. I want to sing Moonshadow because I think it speaks very... I think it speaks very eloquently to the situation that he finds himself in.
You have to sing it, huh?
I have to sing it, huh? You know, I was a professional singer before you were an entertainer, so I really don't like the disrespect.
I've heard you sing, ma'am, and...
You've heard me sing? I think, in other words, you've got a tin ear. If you'd...
All right, okay, sing your song.
And I'd like a little respect while I'm doing it.
Fine, I'll give you all the respect you want. But understand, there's other people in the studio.
Well, who else is in the studio?
Bud's here, and David G. Hall, because he wanted to make sure that I was going to do this.
I'm here, Mrs. Gray, in case you have any problems.
Oh, thank you, David.
Go ahead.
All right, this is a beautiful song. It's called I'm Being Followed by Moonshadow, and it was written by Cat Stevens, Yusuf Lateef. Oh, I'm being followed by a... And you have to understand, it starts out with the guitar. Doom, 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 doom. Very delicate, very lilting, very light, very lovely. And then he says, I'm being followed by a moonshadow, 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 leaping and hopping on a moon... All right, who did that?
Bud.
I couldn't help it.
See, that is exactly what I'm talking about.
Phil, you better get him under control.
He's your buddy. He's not mine.
I'm sorry, Mr. Hall. I couldn't help it.
I absolutely will talk to the FCC if this continues.
Ma'am, Bud, get out of here.
No, he's got to be here because he's retarded. We got to have him here for the Americans with Disabilities Act.
What?
He's got to be here.
Why?
Because the Americans with Disabilities Act says you got to have a retard in the studio.
Bull crap, man. I never heard anything like that.
Don't argue with me. Just have her sing the song.
Well, I can tell you, if I hear that obnoxious sound again, so help me God, as he hangs from the cross bleeding, I will call the FCC.
I'm sorry, ma'am. Please, Bud.
I'm sorry. I had eggs, and I had some Tibetan tofu for dinner.
Oh, nice. What made you think you wouldn't have gas after a dinner like that?
All I had was some lamb vindaloo.
Lamb vindaloo? Wow.
Oh, my God, I'd be breaking wind for years on that.
Yeah. Where'd you get the lamb vindaloo?
Across the street over at the Indian place.
You have lamb vindaloo.
Just do the bit!
All right, go ahead, Margaret.
All right, it starts at lee-dee-dee-doo-hoo. Well, I'm being followed by a moon shadow. Moon shadow, moon shadow. I used to do an opera. Would you like to hear opera, Phil?
Whatever. Please just do it.
Oh, well, excuse me. I'm so sorry to keep you awake.
Oh, I am being followed by a moon shadow.
All right, get him out of here.
That's it. I'm calling the FCC.
Please, get out of here, bud. Ms. Gray? Well, you did it now, Henry. You really stuck your foot in it now, didn't you? Me, huh? Me. Yes, you. You're the guy that invited this dude in here who just had lamb vindaloo for dinner. Look at Henry. The American Disabilities Act says in every radio studio, there's got to be some guy that's crippled or with one arm or something. Why? On account of having equal opportunity and stuff. Every radio studio's got to have a cripple in it. I've been in a lot of radio studios. It's brand new. It's part of the law they just passed down. I'll see you later. I got to see about Bud. I hope he's okay. Yeah, you see if he's okay, man. Unreal. Whatever that was. Oh, I think that might be a call to action. I think it's time now for our plastic surgery segment, isn't it? Sew me up so tight. Yes, it is. Don't shake your freaking head at me, Pelton. I just worked the whole thing out. Why?
They usually come in at 9.
9? Oh! Well, then I blew it, didn't I? Well, here's just a little tease. There you go. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up also in the 9 o'clock hour, it's Lloyd Bonafide to talk with us about smoking. And tomorrow night, Bobby and Steve Dooley. And Friday night, it's Ted Bell on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We take you now to Marlon Brando's memorial service. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the memorial for Marlon. Could I have some quiet, please? Welcome to the memorial for Marlon Brando. Marlon Brando, the name will live forever. The giant that he was, the poet yet angel, the seer yet the innocent. Not just an actor, not just a thespian that... Oh, I can't even do it. I suck at this. I'm leaving. I better get someone else.
Next preacher who can do it good.
I'm going to attempt to do honor to Marlon Brando because I'm sure all of you saw his films. You'll
get out of here, you suck. Next. Marlon Brando was to me an icon, a man of immense talent. He was... You blow! Get out of here. Next.
Hello, I'm Dan Rather. Marlon Brando's still alive, dressed in a chipmunk suit. Oh, please, no, come on! That's gotta hurt. Marlon Brando. Marlon Brando. Come on, say it with me. You can do it. Marlon Brando. You know, it's funny how the name Marlon Brando, Jesus Christ, Marlon Brando, it's the same, isn't it? The same kind of syllabic sort of rhythm. Jesus Christ, Marlon Brando. There's two syllables in Brando and one in Christ, but Marlon Jesus, it's the same. It's the same and yet it's different. Marlon enlightened all of us. There were times when he...
Brando, to me, represents a departure for the film business as well as the theater business. You see, there was once a man who...
I really like Marlon Brando because... Brando. Marlon Brando... was a...
What are you doing?
Hold on for a minute. I'm still doing the bit. Marlon...
What are you doing?
Weren't you just still in here with Bud while he's farting out Lamb Vindaloo? Can't I do a bit?
What is it with you and this Marlon Brando, and then the guy gets shot?
Everybody's a critic all of a sudden.
Look, Phil, I told you to... Oh.
one 800 449 8686, Phil Henry Show. Now, some people may have taken that segment as disrespectful, but that was our small, tedious tribute to Marlon Brando. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. So Sew Me Up So Tight is next hour. Okay, tomorrow night we have Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Friday night, it's Ted Bell. The Best of the Phil Henry Show 2004 CD is on the way, called Fahrenheit 7-Eleven. And it's going to be awesome. We've got, not only is the CD going to be great, because it'll have pieces of good bits from our show over the last year. I think the cover is going to be kind of a trip. Yeah, we're just going to throw some stuff in there. It's really difficult for me to do this show in times like this, sometimes, not always, because there's so much that I want to say just as me, as opposed to being a clown. But when I do that, I run the risk of people going, oh, there goes Philly's going off again, you know. So if I can just throw into every rap something like, you know, I think Carrie sucks, and then I shoot myself, then everyone goes, ah, oh my God, there's Aphrodite Jones. She's on Fox. She still looks like a guy, a good-looking guy, but a guy nonetheless. And I just found out there's been like five guys at this place that have dated her. Honest to God. Now, she's a writer. I don't know. I got a thing for her, man. Big time. She looks exactly like my wife, only she's a brunette. 1-800-449-8686 here on the Phil Henry Show. So cult filmmaker Russ Meyer died, and I know you guys don't know who this guy was, but Russ Meyer was a cat who is probably bigger, well, maybe not bigger, but one of the most influential at getting the whole porn business going the way it is today. He made what was called soft porn movies. He had movies, and the women all had enormous breasts. But there was no graphic sex, per se. There was a lot of fighting and a lot of ass-kicking and a lot of ass is what there was. But I suppose you could say he was a guy that brought the idea of the skin flick to suburbia, the idea that suburban people could watch porn and they were not... Because you got to understand something. This is not too long ago. Anybody that looked at porn was generally considered to be an absolute degenerate. An absolute degenerate. Really. It was without question that if you had... Now, there were things called stag records and stag films. And those were the lamest things. You ever hear those stag records? Some comic up there singing on a piano, well, my girlfriend is a hooker, and, you know, and all of these drunk elks in the audience. You know, that's just a great one. This friend of mine, his mom had one of these records. We sat around listening to it. I'll never forget the song. I remember the lyrics. My father makes book on the corner. My mother makes bathtub gin. My sister makes love for a dollar. My God, how the money rolls in. And then the next line is, my uncle's a poor missionary. He saves foreign girls from sin. He'll save you a blonde for $5. My God, how the money rolls in. And this is the kind of thing, these records were out, and they're called stag records. And there were blue. You know, they had that word blue. Oh, well, you know, it's one of those blue movies. Blue? Lenny Bruce, who is one of the giants of the comedy art form. In fact, there would be no stand-up comedy as we know it today if it wasn't for Lenny Bruce. He was considered to be a dirty or stag or blue comic. Like, if people thought of Lenny Bruce, they thought, oh, must be a guy that does sex jokes for parties, right? So along comes this guy, Russ Meyer, and he starts making these movies that are funny and cute, and they've got a little bit of a plot, and they've got these women with large breasts, like this Faster Pussycat Kill Kill. And it featured this actress, I can't remember her name, but it's like a real cult classic now. It's just some brunette with enormous breasts who would put her high-heeled boot into the eye of some terrorist or something. And then Candy Samples, there's another movie called Vixen. In any event, And he made movies like Beyond the Valley of the Dolls and, you know, crap like that. Remember, if you'd look in the newspaper, Beyond the Valley of the Dolls, rated X. It was rated X because there were breasts in the movie. There was no graphic sex at all. So this came about, and the next thing you know, we got the porn business. This guy just croaked. He was 82. He died, according to his company, from dementia. Holy God. Well, he was suffering from dementia, and he died of complications from pneumonia. In other words, the poor cat had Alzheimer's or something. His movies were considered pornographic, but they are way less shocking by today's standards with their focus on violence and large busted women, but little graphic sex. In fact, there was no graphic sex in his movies at all. There was simulated graphic sex. And the woman, the brunette that was in that movie, Tura Santana, she was in this flick, Faster Pussycat Kill Kill. I'll never forget the very first adult movie I saw. It was at a bachelor party. And it was at a friend's bachelor party, and it was on a... This is telling you, man, it was like a long time ago. Like, this cat was getting married, like 1970, maybe? And a guy busted out the projector. A projector. Anybody remember that? Hung a sheet from the wall. Black and white. Two women and a guy. And I'm looking at this, I'm going, check this out. And all these guys are... What's this for, bud?
It's for pornographic effect.
Do I gotta have music or something under everything?
Yeah, otherwise it's dull. It's dull, I'm telling you.
Turn it off! What, David?
I told Bud to put it on.
Why?
Because you were boring the hell out of me.
What is boring about me talking about?
Just play the... Yeah, now talk. It's great. Sex. Yeah, sex. Go talk, talk!
So anyway, the guy made porno movies and the chicks had big breasts.
Perfect.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
That's dull.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Lloyd, I know you love your grandson, and I know you're very much against smoking for his sake. Is that right?
Well, Phil, I just don't say that I love my grandson. I do love him, and I do take his upbringing seriously, and the kind of man he's going to be. And, of course, you know, the scourge of cigarettes is one that's so terrible... It's going to kill a generation of these young people.
Yeah.
And I tell him, Christopher, don't ever smoke. Whatever you do, don't smoke. You see, if you smoke, I think you forfeit a certain amount of respect and dignity the world would otherwise afford you.
What your grandson's name is what?
His name is Christopher, and he also has a baby sister on the way, which we're very happy about.
Well, congratulations to your... To your daughter. And when you tell him about smoking, does he listen? Because I know he's very young.
Well, I'll tell you, the cigarette companies really saw us coming. Of course, you can't, I love that boy as I do his mother. And the cigarette thing, just to say you believe certain things, you have to show that you believe them. And I can give you an example, Phil. We were out driving on Huntington Drive here last weekend, and we were going over to the Northwoods Inn because he likes to have the, you know, the cheese bread and so on, and they had the red cabbage, and there was this woman in front of us in some kind of a sports car, it was a Mercedes or something, and she tosses a cigarette butt, which was a lit cigarette butt, out onto the street, and it bounces and hits the windshield, and it was still lit. And that much was evident, and it hit my windshield.
It hit the windshield of your car.
Of my car, yes. And you see, in that instance, she shows that there's an individual that had no concern for other people, and the least of all children. And you know, she doesn't know she's going to injure somebody. And I said to myself, now this is an individual, and this is a moment when you can have an impact on a young boy's life. And so I said to myself, boy, you know, she's asking for it.
Did your grandson say something?
Well, he pointed, he said, Grandpa, did you see it?
Okay.
So we got up to the light at San Gabriel, and I put the car in neutral, and I put the hazards on, and I buckled Christopher into his car seat, and I put the car in neutral, and I got out, I walked over to this woman's car, and I said to her, do you realize that you had thrown a lit cigarette out onto the street? It bounced onto my car, and she turned the radio down. She had not heard what I said. I said, you threw a lit cigarette out of your car. And she said, oh, well, I'm sorry. And I said to her, and I want to be very clear. I said to her at that time, I feel justified in doing this to you because you could have killed a child, or it could have lit a fire, Phil, this being the fire season.
Yeah.
And I grabbed her around her throat, and I shook her.
Come on.
No, listen to me. I grabbed her around her throat, and I shook her, and I said now maybe you'll think twice before you throw your filthy cigarette butts out the window.
All right, see, that is what I'm talking about. When you're against cigarette smoking...
No, Phil, listen, I'm a Korean War veteran. And I'm a Korean War veteran, and these women can't hide behind the fact they're women if they're a danger to the life of a grandson I love very much. And she threw the cigarette butt out of the...
Well, you stopped your car, got out, grabbed her by the throat...
I grabbed her about as tightly as you would have a Coke can or a bottle of ketchup or something. I just put my hands around her throat, and I went... And I shook her, and I said, there, how do you like that? Anna, let me tell you something else.
Did anybody intercede on her behalf?
No. Let me tell you something else. People were honking their horns and giving me the thumbs up. You forfeit your right to be treated like a lady or the respect of the human race when you smoke.
Lloyd, I'm a smoker.
Well, as much as I enjoy your program, sir, you throw a lit cigarette out on the street.
You're going to walk up to me and grab me by my throat.
I'm going to make you remember that what you did endangered the life of a grandson I love very much. Yes, sir.
1-800-449-8686. Did he tell you this, Chris? Did you hear this? Because that's what I was talking to before. I said, you know, and we've been doing a segment on violence against women. He gets out of his car and grabs her by the throat and shakes her. Now, let me tell you something. What I find interesting about this, people are so anti-smoking today that there are millions of people that agree with this man. Yeah, she was a woman. Yes, you don't hurt women. But she threw a lit cigarette out of her car, and all bets are off. Now, I wonder if everybody agrees with that stand. He grabbed her by the throat and shook her, and people were honking their horns, digging it. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We'll return with Lloyd Bonafide as he talks about teaching his grandson not to smoke on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Making hot brownies. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Lloyd Bonafide joins me. Lloyd, you're how old?
I'm sorry, sir.
How old are you?
Yes, sir. I'm 71.
71 years of age. You have a grandson. You're traveling down Huntington Drive out in where? Monterey Park? Or?
No, dear, it doesn't matter where I was, sir. I was in the area. A woman had thrown a cigarette out of a window, and it had bounced onto our car. And it was that point that I went over to her car and I put my hands around her neck. And I did it to make a point. You know, in this day and age, there's so much said about women and having respect for them, and that's fine. That's fine. But she gets to throw a lit cigarette into my car? No, sir, no, sir, no, sir.
All right, 1-800, nobody's saying that that's right. I question as to whether or not putting your hands around her neck and simulating like you're choking her is the way to deal with it.
If she she tries to throw a lit cigarette into the lap of my grandson, by God, she had better pray to the whatever Christian religion she is in favor. She should have asked, why can't she use the ashtray? I'm sure they've got ashtrays in those Mercedes Benzes.
1-800-449-8686. Jane, go ahead. You're on the air here with Lloyd Bonafide.
With Roy?
Lloyd.
Hi, Roy. I was just wondering what you thought about strangling a woman in front of your grandchild. How old is he?
He's five, but, you know.
He's five? Because
he tried to throw a lit cigarette onto the very grandchild that you're talking about.
But, sir, if you think about it, if you think that this stranger has that large of an impact on your child just by smoking in itself, then what kind of an impact do you think that you're putting on your child or by your grandchild?
Hold on for a minute. There's a worse example being set for my grandchild by this imbecile throwing a lit cigarette out of the car in a fire season in the state of California where homes can burn to the ground.
You think that's a worse example than hand-on-hand contact?
Yes,
your hands around her throat?
Yes, I do. Burning homes to the ground and killing people, I believe, is worse. Yes.
Well, now you have a debate.
Hold on.
Now this is a debate. On the one hand, we have Jane saying it's worse to commit violence against a woman. You say it's worse to throw a lit cigarette out of a car. It's an interesting debate. Wouldn't you agree?
No, she's totally wrong.
Well,
no, I think I'm not even talking about violence against a woman. I'm talking about just violence in front of a human being and just doing that in front of a child. I don't think that a child should be...
Would you commit violence against someone that was trying to lift your skirt up in front of your son? Yes, you would. Of course you would.
I wouldn't put my hands... I would tell my son to go around the corner and I wouldn't put my hands around his throat.
So if someone's mugging you, you'd say, go around the corner before I defend myself. Listen, I'm a Korean War veteran. You're speaking to a man who's had combat experience.
No, I respect you,
and
sir.
And I can tell you right now that if that is your stand, you would be dead in front of your son, which I think it would be terrible to have him see his mother get her head split, cut off, and everything like that.
I just don't agree with promoting that kind of behavior in front of a five-year-old. Five-year-olds take things very literally. That's a very... impact a child at that age.
I just told you that this imbecile in a Mercedes threw a cigarette butt.
Well, no. Let me jump in here. It's obviously a difference of opinion as to what has more impact on a kid, a lit cigarette being pitched from a car or you strangling. And maybe what we're talking about here is the solution to the problem.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
You should talk to her. She knows. You know, that's the... what a jacket.
All right. Thank you very much. 1-800-449-8686. What about that, Lloyd? The fact that...
What about what?
The fact that you choked this woman for throwing a lit cigarette, doesn't that set a bad example?
Well, let me ask you something. Do I must have wax in my ears? Am I listening to you agree with these people? Are you trying...
No, sir, I'm not agreeing. I'm saying, what about the impact...
What about the impact of this woman who looked like she was going to her job at the Pussycat Theater and throwing a lit cigarette out of this by the pavement, for Jesus H. Christ's sake?
Please watch your language, sir.
Well, sir, I can tell you I'm a Korean war...
Just please watch your language.
Well, Mr. Henry, the cigarette butt bounced off the ground and flipped up into the air like a trapeze artist and hit my windshield, and my grandson said, look, Grandpa, the lady threw the cigarette butt out.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Nate, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Nate?
Hi there, Mr. Henry.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I'd like to talk to the gentleman. I'm wondering if he would have done this if this was a man that had done it.
Oh, yes. No question.
You would have.
No question about it.
Because I'll tell you what, I'm a Marine Corps veteran, and if anyone wants to come up and throttle me by the throat,
you're going to have a hell of a time
doing that.
You're talking to a Navy guy, okay? And while your ass rode and buy equipment, friend, don't ever make the mistake that I'm Popeye.
Well,
okay?
All right, look, can we keep it off of this level?
No, this guy wanted to take it onto that level.
Well, I mean, you've said that you're a Korean War veteran about 20 times.
That's correct.
Which is irrelevant to the story. Would you have done this to a man who's 33 years old?
I think I answered your question. I don't care if he's 13 years old. he tries to set fire to my grandson and burn him alive in front of me. And
well, wait. The lady flips a cigarette butt. You're attributing to her intentions that I think it's safe to assume she didn't have.
Well, wait, that's what smokers like to say. Oh, I didn't know I was hurting anybody. Let me ask this jarhead something. Do you smoke?
Yes, I do.
Why did you watch the jarhead stuff?
I'll also tell you what. For the first 20 times you talked about her throwing the cigarette, you said it hit the windshield. But the last time you said it hit the ground and jumped up like a trapeze artist.
It bounced off the pavement. What, do I got to take you back to boot camp and show you how to polish your shoes, too?
I really think you're out of line.
Well, I tell you what. Anybody tries to set fire to my grandson...
But she wasn't trying to.
I don't give a good, sweet, feathery lord if she was or she wasn't. That's not the point. The point
you're
is...
You're talking about setting examples for your grandson, correct?
Right. That's exactly what you're saying, Lloyd, right?
And you're showing him that the way to treat women in the future when they're irritated with them is to throttle them by the neck?
Wait a second. I didn't say when I'm irritated with them. When they try to set fire...
You're certainly not happy with them.
Well, the message is this. If a female tries to burn you alive, yes, you have the right to take matters into your own hands.
Now, wait a minute.
Let me ask you this. What if the car was leaking gasoline and the cigarette landed on it, and my grandson is cooked into bacon?
Of the millions of lit cigarettes that are thrown out windows, I don't recall any time in my life hearing of a car blowing up from gasoline leaking.
That's because you're a Marine and you're trying to defend the fact that you spoke. You know, I'll tell you something. I don't care if you have the cigarette or if it's Betty Boop. I'll squeeze the life right out of the person that tries to burn my son.
You want to tweak, I'll tell you. My advice to you, sir, is that if you continue to throttle people by the neck,
and it's illegal,
you're going to find the wrong person to throttle by.
Well, I'll tell you what, it won't be a Marine.
Thank you, Mr. Henry, for having me on your show.
Thank you very much, sir. What's the thing with Marines?
Let me tell you what. There's a little thing goes on between Marines and the Navy. See, they think their stuff doesn't smell because they go out onto the beach and they build sandcastles, and they think we're back getting suntans, right? What we're doing, of course, is we're keeping them supplied with everything that keeps them alive, right? Including taking their asses over there and dropping them off and then pulling their carcasses out of the water. And I can tell you...
Is there a real problem with Marines and Navy?
Well, yeah, the Marines started it. They think they're something special. Let me tell you what. There hadn't been any five Marines I've met yet that could take me out. And that's the concept.
All right, let me go to Joanne. Joanne, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Very good.
I just want to tell you, Phil, I'm a little concerned. I have grown up in the military, and I really think that the point that needs to be made to this gentleman is two wrongs do not make a right.
Wait a minute.
If you
Hold on to your horses and give me the opportunity to speak.
Let the lady speak.
Oh, yeah, let the lady speak. Let the lady flick a cigarette butt out of the window,
I beg your pardon, sir. Would you let me speak? What I would like to say to you is you are setting an example for your grandson. If you felt that this was improper, illegal, unlawful, then what you should have done is taken down her license plate number. You should have called the police. You should have explained to your grandson that this is improper, what could have happened, and didn't, thank God.
All right, may I ask a question?
Certainly.
How do I explain that to a grandson who's a piece of cooked pork roast?
You know what?
When I go to the police and I say, you see that sitting in the car seat? That used to be a kid.
You know, wait a minute.
Oh,
sir.
Come on.
That
I mean...
No. That's what she doesn't happen. That's not what she sees. She won't take that into consideration.
Well, but
you
the
police... You know what? There but for the grace of God. And if you are a Christian...
I believe in God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the avenging arm of Jesus. And let me ask you, are you Army?
I am Army. I am not Army. I grew up in the Army.
Yeah, I knew it.
All right. Well, look, this is
not... You know
what?
Do you have anything nice to say about any of the armed forces?
I got nothing. That Marine called in and started... He wanted to get something going with me. I told him, I'll give him one for it. Now I got the Army checking in, you know?
Look,
let me tell you something.
Why are you guys at each other's throats? I mean, first of all, what Joanna's saying, I think, makes sense. To set an example of law-abiding behavior is to say, well, that was littering. It's against the law. You contact a police officer. It's also a lit cigarette, and you're right. During fire season, it's really dangerous. But to get out of the car...
And I do all of this while my son is smoldering away next to me. Is that it?
But, you know, that didn't happen. So let's not even go there. It didn't happen, okay? So why stretch it?
Let's say your son was on fire. Wouldn't you put him out rather than strangle a woman?
That's right.
You know, the woman that you have on the phone now is PO-ing me a little bit. And
you know, I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. I'm not accustomed to listening to that kind of language. I'm a lady, okay?
Well, you're also Army, so don't start acting like you've never heard it before.
Okay, my show, we will act like gentlemen.
That's
agreed,
right,
sir?
Yeah, whatever, Mr. Talk Show host, you know, but...
Mr. Butterfly,
I think maybe you should explain to your grandson and apologize to him and tell him that you made a mistake before...
So you want me to apologize to him for keeping him from sizzling away like a piece of spam?
Nothing did happen. That's true. Nothing did happen.
Nothing happened.
Joanne, thank you.
You set a bad example.
I bet you're one of them born-agains, aren't you?
I certainly am not.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Lloyd Bonafide choked a woman who threw a lit cigarette out of her car. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sew Me Up So Tight, I'm Talking Through a Hole in My Face. I'm Sheila Skelly.
And I'm Dr. Jack Briscoe.
This is the segment where we talk to you about the things you can do to make yourself look wonderful. And most importantly, this is a segment where we help you to be acceptable to people. Because right now, Jack, so many people are so frightening looking, they really aren't acceptable to people, are they?
No, you know, so many of us are so ugly, so frighteningly ugly. Our breasts are so small, our noses are too big, our ears are too big. How do you expect anyone to want to be around you when you look like that?
And on this program, we help you make friends and gain the world's approval. Tonight we have a very special guest. She has gained the world's approval through an incredible amount of plastic surgery. And I think we know who we're talking about. We're going to be very excited to bring on in a moment, Dolly Parton.
Oh, yeah.
What makes Dolly Parton, Dr. Briscoe, so acceptable as a beauty and a person that we all want to get to know?
Well, first of all, the numerous breast jobs that Dolly Parton has had down through the years, she started out getting one that was fairly moderate, and she decided she wanted to go for it all. She wanted to go for the chesty Morgana King look. She wanted to go for that big, let me run out onto the field and put one on Nolan Ryan look. I mean, those things are just big hangers. And as a result, Dolly Parton is now considered to be one of the world's most beautiful women. And here's the great thing that I love, Sheila, about breast implants.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a face on you that would crack a mirror, but as long as you've got those lungs, let me tell you what, people think you're a beauty. And Dolly Parton is a great example of that. She's got a kisser on her that I would run screaming from in the middle of the night if she didn't have that pair.
Well, that is the truth. So let's bring her out, shall we?
Let's bring her out. Dolly Parton.
Hey.
Well, Miss Parton, it's so nice to see you. I'm Jack Briscoe.
And I'm Sheila Skelly. Hello, Dolly.
How y'all doing?
Well, great. Dolly, you do have an ugly face. There's no doubt about it. But look at that chest.
It is really impressive, Dolly.
Well, I've had a whole lot of surgery down through the years, you know.
Well, that's great. Do you mind if we And I want to be very, very, I want to be a gentleman about this, but look, can we take a look at those?
Well, I don't see why not.
Just from a professional standpoint, if you could just go ahead and, now, keep in mind that Dolly has had brassieres constructed in Houston and in Pascagoula, Mississippi, utilizing a new kind of hybrid alloy. And Teflon, so...
So it's super dynamic, is it? Well, I had to get a brassiere that's just, man, some kind of space-age thing.
All right. Well, without further ado...
But I'm not wearing it.
You're not wearing it?
No, I'm not. I'm wearing just a regular...
Okay, we could have a... All right, I don't want to have a collapse here, so let's be very careful. Go ahead and get those babies out. Well, now, will you check that out? Look at those.
Oh, that is nice, Dolly. They're really big.
Oh, my God, there's a collapse imminent. There's a collapse imminent. There's a collapse imminent. No! Get away from them! Get out from under them! Mayday! 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 If anyone could hear us, Tartan's chest has just collapsed. Tartan's chest has collapsed. Mayday! Mayday!
This is Houston. I'm Brett saying Dolly Parton's chest has just collapsed. Can we get enough information on that? All right, now the air is being let out. Roger.
Oh, my God, it's like watching when worlds collide.
Can we get any information? Is anyone alive? Can you key your handset to let us know if you're alive? Cat, Sheila. Cat, Sheila. Well, I guess they're dead. This is Mission Control in Houston. We are sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Dolly Parton's chest just collapsed and crushed Sheila Skelly and Jack Briscoe. They were good people.
Roger. You were a good ship.
Yes, she was. We'll have a full investigation. This is Mission Control in Houston. For the Sony Episode Tide, I'm talking through a hole in my face segment. Roger and out. Good day to you, Eagle. You were a good ship.
Roger.
Roger. This is the Phil Hendry Show, by the way. Just in case you thought you were actually listening to a NASA transmission.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Our web address is www.philhendryshow.com. We have our mailbag on Fridays, and that's like day after tomorrow. So if you have an email, it's to phs@philhendryshow.com, phs@philhendryshow.com. Coming up tomorrow night, Bobby and Steve Dooley, and a segment of Michael Moore's America. And we also, of course, are making available on our website our best of CD for 2003. The money that we raise goes to benefit my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And we'll also raise that money for my friend's place with the sale of our 2004 CD, Fahrenheit 7-11, which is going to be coming out. And I guess you can pretty much figure out the joke there. So that's where that's at, baby. Hockey league for locked out players denies a hockey league formed for locked out NHL players called off some preseason games, but will proceed. I didn't know the National Hockey League players are locked out, are they? Well, good. I mean, that's too bad. I mean, who cares? All right, on to some of the news we have here. Britney Spears got married. She didn't file a marriage license, which makes her somewhere in between smarter than she was, but still dumber than Jessica Simpson, I guess. She's married, so she's been married for a little bit longer than she was, but she didn't file a marriage license or a marriage certificate or a marriage permit or a dog license or whatever you're supposed to do. Is a preacher allowed to marry you if he doesn't have the marriage license? I don't think so. So who's the knucklehead she got? Probably some cat who's a spiritualist, some guy that's throwing bones or in between looking through crystals, smoking some very good spleef. So the dude's just, whatever.
You know, we don't recognize society. We only recognize, I dig these people with, society's got nothing to do with it. You know that marriage is all about society? Do you realize that?
In other words, if you don't give a crap about society, then you wouldn't be married. If you say we're married in a spiritual sense, well, no, you're not. See, and I'll tell you why. Marriage came about as the result of the tribe wanting to know whose mate was whose. They wanted to formalize it so there wouldn't be competing, you know, cavemen clubbing other guys for the woman, right? They say, okay, now the society recognizes that the two of you were together, and that has to be respected, okay? Everybody in the tribe agree? And a whole bunch of cave apes would, grunt. And they go, okay, cool. I don't want to see any of you apes hanging around Eddie's cave. Otherwise, you'll know what's up. You'll get what's for, as Lloyd likes to say. That's the whole reason for marriage. So that you stand in front of the tribe and you say, okay, this is my woman. But if you don't do that, then your woman's up for grabs. Ooh, that's going to sting. I know that doesn't set well with some people, but it's true. For instance, if you're not married to a woman, but you're living with her, or you have a girlfriend, but you're not formally committed, you're not committing any grave act by having sex with another woman. You're not, in my opinion, not committing any breach of any real morality there. I mean, it may be against your religion, but I mean, in terms of just what's fair and right, if you are not legally, in the eyes of society, hooked up with her, you can be involved with 5, 10, 3,000 women. You haven't breached any societal morality there. You're not, there's no recognition of your bond. You may have talked to each other and said, okay, we're going to be monogamous, and maybe that's the word that you gave her, and okay, I can, maybe she's angry about that, but you're not going to go to hell for it, I don't think, other than the hell you're living in living with her. Jesus, Henry. But you know what I'm saying. By the same token, the same thing for women. The only way to validate your relationship is to marry her. And that way, in the eyes of the tribe, you are now together. That's what marriage is. And it can also be, if we so choose it to be, a guy and a guy. Or a chick and a chick. It's not that it says it's supposed to be heterosexuals. The only reason why gay people never got married in the past isn't because marriage was something that was created for straight people. It's because if gay people try to get married, they'd get, like, gelded or beaten up or murdered for it. So why would they even, like, publicly marry? But then along comes Brittany, and she gets married. This is not unique. There's a whole lot of people. Hey, you know, we're living together. It's a very spiritual thing. Whatever, dude. You know, good for you, and I hope that it works for you. But as far as I'm concerned, man, as soon as you're out of town, I'm going to come knocking on your door. Oh, yeah? Well, then I'll kick your ass. Well, okay. It's worth it, man. She's Britney Spears. Not that she's going to look that good forever. As a matter of fact, I did see some of the shots in Star Magazine, and I said to her, chin up, Britney. No, no, both of them, both of them. And in other news, on the Phil Henry Show here, I see that CBS has been fined $550,000 for the Janet Jackson exposure last year. Now, as I said to you, the promise was that they would sue the FCC if they were fined. That was the promise. The bet is that they probably won't. They'll probably go ahead and pay it. But that's what they said they do. And hey, CBS is a big company. They got all kinds of bread. They could certainly take care of it just by paying the fine. But if they wanted to take a stand and actually say something along the lines of, now, hold on for a minute. Not that what we did wasn't kind of low. That is, having a sex act on when there's little kids watching. Now, that's pretty low. Honest to God, if you think about that, if some guy paraded a stripper through your house and your, like, 7-year-old kids are there, I mean, you'd want to beat the guy until he was bloody. Not because there's anything wrong with naked women, but, excuse me, can I choose when and how my kids are exposed to that? I'd rather CBS not do it for me if it's all the same to you. I don't mind looking at Janet Jackson, such as she is. She ain't bad. She's not bad in a storm. But when my little kids are sitting there and you lay that on me, you know, that's, tell you what, not good. So anyway, they're not acknowledging that that's what they did, and they said they weren't going to pay the fine, but we'll see. They're probably going to bend over for it, just like Dan Rather did. And that still probably won't save his gig. So what do you think? This is day two. Is Rather going to lose the gig or is he not? Is Rather going to lose his... Is Rather in a lather? Is Lather going to lose his Rather? Or would you rather have someone other than Rather? Now, that guy screwed up, man. Think of cats that have screwed up that bad and people have screamed for their neck. How about this? You remember when Jimmy the Greek said that blacks could breed other black, big black kids? Gone. And he should have been, too, because Jimmy the Greek was an imbecile. You remember when Al Campana said that they didn't have the necessities to be managers? Gone. And he should have been. Great baseball man, but it's a new day, Al. You got to keep your big fat trap shut. And the Dodgers should have known better than to stick that poor old man on TV anyway. You remember when that dumbass Mike Savage said, I'm kidding with the dumbass thing. Remember when Mike Savage said gays should die? What did he say? Something really... Yeah, they ought to... You should only die. Sodomite. Wasn't that his thing? Sodomite? Well, shut my mouth, preacher. Sodomite. Well, if there's... Well, I'm raising my hand. I'm one. I'm kidding. Anyway, gone, right? Now, Rather comes on TV and tells everybody, right here, I got the goods, man. Bush is a lying sack of cream cheese. Guess what? Wrong. It was scribbled on a piece of, like, binder paper by the third grade class from Little Mary Margaret School in Houston, Texas, and they faxed it out from a Kinko's, and Rather sitting there making excuses. That cat ought to be out of a gig. But the smart money says he ain't going to be out of a gig. The smart money says there's some producer, and I forget her name, Mary Mopes or Mapes or something. She's the one, apparently, I don't know what their problem is at CBS, but apparently she said to the Kerry campaign, you should talk to this guy. I mean, what is this about? You're, like, networking? Hey, this cat's got some really good stuff. And so she says Lockhart ought to talk to this Burkhead, who's a proven moron and a liar. And this Lockhart guy, who's actually a pretty decent guy. He was the press secretary for Bill Clinton and a smart guy. But Lockhart, I think, made a huge mistake taking this guy's call. Anyway, Lockhart said the guy didn't have anything. But what's up with CBS hooking these people up? Anyway, make a long story short, she's probably going to lose her job. And Rather sitting there, and he's going to go off on his boat, and he's just going to feel all hurt. And then he'll be back on with that ugly mug of his, Mary Mapes, that's the name. Like I said last night, look, doesn't matter to me. Everybody says, well, you know, women are women, they got to have a good-looking man. You know, the women are good-looking. You know, I got a thing with ugly male anchors, personally. I don't know about you, but I just do. I mean, it's not because they're not pleasing to look at from a sexual sense, although I would appreciate that sometimes. You know, it's nice to see a handsome man. What did you remember Nicolas Cage in Honeymoon in Vegas? Do you think I'm good looking? You're a handsome figure of a man, yes. But I sure don't need some hard ass looking back at me every night, like Rather. Just that kisser on him, stern and afraid of losing his job. Why don't you get out of here, you and that you and your pet chipmunk. Other news, Americans say more cheese, please. Yes, in the midst of the Cortislim blitz, in the midst of the Atkins diet, and so many other very healthy alternatives to dying, Americans still can't stay away from that pure processed whipped fat called cheese. Oh, I'm sorry, do we have a call now for Mr. Rather? Dan, how you doing?
I'm Dan Rather. I look like an old horse.
All right. Americans say more cheese, please. Americans are eating more cheese than ever, more than 30 pounds a person per year. Well, that's not enough. Eat more. 30 pounds? Well, that's 30 pounds of fat. 30 pounds a person. Obviously, this is per capita or something, but can you imagine, like, the average child eating 30 pounds of cheese a year? No wonder kids are fat tubs of guts. Big little bowling balls walking around. You see these families, the mother with the big wide rear end, the father there with a big bowling ball ass, and along comes Junior, and he's the same version of this, the round thing, only smaller. Just walk big circles with legs. 30 pounds of cheese a year, and for their appetite, for more variety is growing, their appetite for more variety. And do you like cheese? Man, I love it. God, how about blue cheese, dude? You ever get that nice, that, you know?
I'm a cheddar man.
A cheddar. You're a cheddar man. You know what? I'm with you on that, man. That sharp New York cheddar. Good, sharp New York cheddar. There was just something when you said I'm a cheddar man. And that blue cheese is out of sight, that Roquefort stuff. You settle down for the football game. I tell my wife, go get that blue cheese stuff that crumbles up. You lay that on a cracker. And a few Guinnesses later, Jim, and you're living large. California is the nation's leading milk producer. With the help of cheesemakers like Hillmar Cheese Company, the largest in North America, the state has doubled in size. Literally, the people in the state of California are twice the size they were last year because of the fat that they're eating from their own cows. All right, I would make a reference to the cheese that Pelton was talking about moments ago, but I won't, and it ain't cheddar. 1-800-449-8686. Tomorrow night, Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.